blessings today and for gathering together for worship. And today, as we begin, let us open up as we are the church together and lifting each other up through all the situations and circumstances. Not on? All right, am I on now? How about now? Hey, here we go. All right. So we are the church, and to be part of the community gathered together, we are always thankful for the opportunity to celebrate the moments of joy that we have in our life, as well as celebrate and lift each other up in those moments that we are privileged to lift each other up in prayer. So do we have any prayer requests or moments of joy that we want to celebrate and lift up right now?
My cousin Beth Mavis has requested prayer. She's in covenant with influenza A. So she's asking if everybody just keeping the prayers for healing.
Yes, thank you for bringing that to us. You said in covenant?
Yes.
All right, anyone else?
I'd just like to ask for prayers for the Darling family. John's uncle, and it would be Fred's youngest brother, Jerry, passed away very suddenly on Tuesday down in Florida, so... John and I are heading down next week to give her a little bit of support. She's a strong woman, but it's a little bit of a shock, so
yeah.
Just prayers.
On Thursday for Jerry, okay. Thank you, and of course our hearts are heavy today for you, undertaking for you and your family. Anyone else?
Just a quick update on our niece, Ashton. She's having a good couple of weeks. She was able to go to preschool this week, and she came over and played with us, so... She goes back to Wisconsin in 2 weeks for more tests and things, but she's had a good couple weeks, so keep the prayers coming because she's having some good days. And also just keep in prayers, Dad is going over to the VA hospital for, they're going to put him into rehab. So a couple weeks, they're going to put him in for, and do some therapy and some rehab, so some prayers that he does well over there and maybe some prayers and keep his spirits up while he's over there.
And when does that begin?
Tuesday.
Tuesday. For Dan, yes. Anyone else? Do you have a joy? Have a joy.
The Lenten devotionals got done. Not without a couple hitches, but they did get done. And they are in the blue. They have a blue cover on them, and they're in, Karen has one. Hold it up, Karen. Yeah, that's what they look like. And if you don't have one, pick one up. And if you know of anybody that you would like to give one to, go ahead and pick up more than one and pass them out. Also, our prayer vigil was 100% filled. 24-hour prayer vigil in this church, 100% filled. It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. So we're very, very happy for that.
I have a joy. The other day, I was walking my dog, and I saw a whole flock of blackbirds. And let's hope that that is a sign of an early spring.
Sounds like a Bible study, doesn't it? Walking with Bill in the morning. Anyone else? Was there one over there? No? Oh, Linda, you got one?
While Gayla was talking, the Lenten devotionals that were done by this congregation, really powerful ones written. I also got something by email from the Society of St. Andrew offering Lenten devotional booklets. I had not a clue of what they were about, but I ordered a bunch. And so they're back also on the table with the church Lenten devotionals. They look like this. Society of St. Andrew is the agency that the United Methodist men here and in our district work through for the Potato Project. And so you'll find people who have written daily devotions from, I've even some from beyond the United States. Some really powerful ones. So go ahead and help yourself to one or share them with others. There's plenty that need to get out to people. As you read them, you'll learn more about the Society of St. Andrew, and of course, some of the things may be talking about fundraising, but I figure we help fund them when we put our pennies in the offering plates that go to the men that they take to the district rally. And I think it was last year or the year before Russ reported that we raised $150 in pennies in a particular year. So keep those pennies coming through the offering plates and know that that's helping to pay for the Society of St. Andrews who create and give things like this away. I didn't even have to pay shipping. So.
All right.
Really powerful ones. Thank you.
Anyone else? You're in the middle, so it's going to be a race to see.
So I wasn't here last week because of the weather, but I heard that you were leaving, and me and my family talked about it. They're all at work today, all four of them. Anyways, I wanted to say that for 10 years, we went out to Fellowship Bible out in Peck, and it was great. Pastor Black passed away on an ice fishing accident. So we went to a couple different churches. We finally made our way here with my sister and my ma. And I will have to say, Pastor Matt, I will truly miss you. I think you're great. I talked to you about a child abuse case. It was very private and important to me and my family. It divided us a little bit. And I think you are outstanding. From issues that personally touch my heart, we left a church because of a race issue. You have never, ever, ever made us feel anything but loved. And I want you to know how much my family really, really loves you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Let us go ahead and have any announcements that aren't in the bulletin. Speaking of that, there is a letter that's going out to announce that if you weren't here last week. I'm sorry about that, Bev. So there's an email that went out to most of you that will get that information if you haven't had it already. But if you haven't got one in the mail this week or you don't see that email, please just let the office know and we can get you a hold of a copy if we need that. Bev?
Thank you. I just really want to point out, I know it was on the screen. I hope you're all reading the screen. That's what those are for. Mm-hmm. But we are doing back to discipleship meetings this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. We didn't last month, and we debated how we're going to take some months off. But we are back, and please, they're not meetings; they're gatherings, just chance to share ideas. And please come if you're able to, just to share some thoughts on where we can go as a disciples.
All right.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock on Tuesday. Anyone else? Any announcements that aren't printed? What about any birthdays? Do we have any birthdays we're celebrating this week? Oh, Bobby, do you have a birthday or do you have a celebration for someone else? Yeah. So tomorrow, all right. Bobby, tomorrow, is anybody joining Bobby this week? Michelle is. Aaron's got a birthday present for Michelle? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, that's great. It's kind of a gift that keeps on giving as the years go by, right? Wow. Wow, Paula, it's good for you planning that out. That was pretty good. So, Michelle, and what day is it, Michelle? Oh, yesterday. Okay. That's right. Last week, Aaron, we did mention it, and we said we were going to sing this week with some interest, so some of that's going to be for you guys both. Anybody else have any birthdays? Let's go ahead and sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
What about anniversaries? Do we have any anniversaries that we're celebrating this week? Got to remember to turn around. Do we have any anniversaries this week? No? Okay, that's fine. Let us go ahead and surrender things over now to prepare us for worship as we have our bell choir today joining us. And would you please set the stage for us as we begin worship today? All right. For here, would you please stay in that moment of prayer that brought us to and join us for asking the Lord to anoint and bless our time together today. Almighty God, we are humbled before you today in this time of worship. And we'd ask that you be glorified, Lord, and you would find pleasing all that we say and do in this sacrificial time. Lord, we welcome those that are joining us on the radio. And we ask also, Lord, that you be with them, not just in this sanctuary, that your arms of unconditional love would stretch out to everyone who turns their ear to you. Lord, open our hearts and challenge us and lead us forward in all that we say, the songs that are lifted up, and like these, the prayers that are brought to you. In Christ's powerful, majestic name we pray. Amen. All right. Please stand if you're able, and we'll sing together the song of our faith, number 64, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Again, stand if you're able for number 64, Holy, Holy, Holy. Number 64, if the screens don't come on. Amen. You may be seated. And as we find our seats, another song of our faith that seems to always come up in great times and great moments of worship and celebration is 77, How Great Thou Art. Number 77, How Great Thou Art. Amen. Great song of our faith. And now we'll ask our children to come up today as we have our children's time set aside before Sunday school dismissal. Do we have any kids that would like to come up today? Right, we got a few today. All right. All right, well, today we are having our first Sunday of our Lent season. How many people know how long Lent is? 40 days. You know, some people get confused because 40 days is how long we journey, but that doesn't count what day? Sundays, right? Easter's, right? So it's 40 days, but there's more than that during the whole time because we don't count Sundays as part of that, right? Because they're little Easters, just like you said, right? They're little resurrection days, so we get kind of a break in that moment for our opportunity for worship. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Now we have several little Easters, so that's pretty neat. In this time, what we're going to talk about when you guys have your Sunday school today is we're going to talk about covenants. We're going to talk about promises God made. Do you know any promises that God made? Can you remember any of them from the Bible? He'll never flood the earth again. We're going to talk about that today. That's one of the first ones that pops to our mind, doesn't it? And since we remember that story, does anybody remember what the sign of that promise from God is? A rainbow. Wow, you really know this story, don't you? That's pretty good. I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that we know some of that story. So we have a promise from God, right, that we can believe because God's always faithful. But we also have a sign from God, right, to mark that promise, right? And that's the rainbow. So that's pretty interesting. Today, during this time that I want us to think about this week is for all of us, right, especially you kids, is when you go off to Sunday school and you go about your week, right, and finding ways to honor Jesus in your life, think about how important a promise is from God because God's always faithful. And do we consider our own promises that way, right? Could you imagine what would be like if every single promise we ever made couldn't be broken? What a different world we live in sometimes, huh? We'd probably think a lot more seriously about some of the promises we make, wouldn't it? So we think about God's promise and know that it can't be broken because God is always faithful, so that we should try to keep our promises. How about that? Okay? Can we go ahead and get our prayer positions? Let's fold our hands and bow our heads and close our eyes. And when I start out, will you guys say these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and for these little Easters throughout this journey. Help us to keep our promises and to thank you for your covenant promises. Please bless our time in Sunday school and everybody gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Let's go ahead and stand up. And who's going to lead us down today? All right. Well, there's four people, right? Oh, you guys are going to stay for the bell choir today, okay? So you'll go down after. You guys want to go ahead and sit up? You guys got a great seat here in the front. And then afterwards, we'll march down. How's that sound? Is that pretty good? So in a moment, well, before we get over to the bells, we're going to do the Apostles' Creed here for a moment. So do we have the screen for that? Okay. Now, this is found also in your hymnal, but if you can see on here, this is the Apostles' Creed. Now, last year, we did a series on the Apostles' Creed, and it's important. This is our season. Wouldn't you agree that we're living as disciples of Christ every single day of the year, right? But this is that year, or this is that moment of the year. This is our season. This is resurrection time. So as we walk through together, let us not only say the things that we believe, but what about we claim the truths of our faith when we're talking about God being faithful? So would you please say these words with me as we say them as one body and one voice, as this is a claim more than just a reading. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. And on the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What a time to claim those truths. And we are thankful for being in this place together, you and I as individual voices, but as a church and as a radio listening audience, we've claimed that faith together. When we think about how powerful it is for us all to be in unison of saying something with all voices melded together into one, saying the same message forward, we're inspired to remember our tradition of saying the Lord's Prayer together. And I would invite you to think about this in a moment, that when those that were learning from Christ as disciples, you could say, we're curious, how do we honor God in our prayer life? How do we go about praying in the way that you do, Jesus? And Jesus' response in the gospel is what inspires this prayer. So would you please join me in this prayer together as we say it with one body and one voice, the Lord's Prayer aloud. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Today. To tell you about the number that we're going to play, called Shall We Gather at the River. And it was written by a gentleman by the name of Robert Lowry in 1864. So it's a newie. He wrote several, 500 hymns as a matter of fact, and a couple of them that are familiar as Up From the Grave and I Need Thee Every Hour. And when he wrote this story, the words to this tune that we're going to play for you, he was so concerned that there were so many songs written about the river of death, and he wanted to write something about that. He was inspired to write something about the river of life. And so this is entitled, Shall We Gather at the River?
Thank you.
Looks good. All right. But this preaches, Miss Barber, because this is getting out of our comfort zone and prepare for the unexpected, right? This is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're going to make some music here, guys. Oh, which one am I playing? Hey, I got the B. All right, here. Don't mess with the director, right?
Okay, C again. C, D, C, F, E, C, D, C, G, F, C, C, C.
Oh, I'm sorry. Nope. Scratch that. It was this one. Yes, yes, right notes. Yeah. Good job, everybody. This is great. Who do I give these back to? All right. All right, thank you.
Thanks for playing here.
All right, our kids are going down for their time in Sunday school. All right, well, in this time, it's interesting because if any of you got the message from the bulletin from the email, do we have another stand that I can use? Can I use that one? Yeah, well, today, it was very interesting, yeah, that Riley came today ready to talk about the covenant from Noah, because that's what we're looking at today in Scripture. And so it's interesting that we walk through our season, our Lenten season together, this 40-day journey, these weeks together, and oftentimes we're talking about our spiritual discipleship and our journey, and so it might be interesting for us to take a look at some of those covenant promises, because we have to remember that these are the holy promises. And they're only as good as those who make them. And this covenant comes from God, who is always faithful. So we know that we can trust a promise that is given from God. And it's appropriate that today we go back to Genesis, because how many of you have ever caught a program, maybe, you know, midway through, or maybe even stepped into a conversation about halfway through and things like that? And you might be able to get the gist of what's going on, but do you ever feel like you're missing a little bit of it when you get kind of halfway through it? You almost have to get the beginning, right, to understand what's going to happen. And so in these moments, there are a lot of different covenant promises and prayers that are brought forth in the Scripture. But today, it's appropriate we go back to the first book of the Bible, and we look at one of the early covenant promises that God makes with Noah. Now, that's the title of the message, But understand, I'd like to invite us to listen for some of the language here, because it's not just a covenant that God has with Noah. And even though it says Noah's sons, Noah's wife and his sons' wives were there too. So it's just this moment that when we look at this covenant, it comes to them because they were present, but it's a covenant for all of us when we understand the promises that are being made. And this comes from the very first chapter of the book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 9, verses 8 through 17. Then God said to Noah and his sons with him, verse 9, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, all the birds, all the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy all the earth. Verse 12. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I am making between me and you and every living creature, a covenant for all generations to come. Verse 13. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of the covenant between me and all the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Verse 16, it goes on to say, whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures, so every kind of creature on the earth will be preserved. And finally, in verse 17, it says, so God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all of the earth. So God's making this covenant. Did you hear the language there? It wasn't just for that moment in time. It was for all living creatures. Quick test, everybody. Quick test. Take your pulse. You got one of those, you're a living creature. That's talking to us, right? Is that neat when Scripture jumps out and reminds us it's not just a moment in time, that it's a covenant prayer for all of us? We are the living creatures that take part in that covenant, in that promise. And that has to be exciting, my dear friends, because we understand we are a part of a covenant promise that God made. And so in this moment, we look very early. And we understand when we think about the flooding and the ark and the covenant with Noah, this all came about because of our human condition, right? The weight of sin since the fall of man earlier, a few chapters earlier, and sin birthed itself into creation, we started to see that separation between us and God. And we started to see the weight of what our own decisions apart from God bring us, the inheritance of sin. And so when God had enough, there was a flood. And there's this moment here where when that's finished, God makes a covenant that that's not going to happen again. This covenant promise is important for us today as we walk through our Lent season to think, as we mentioned to the kids, what kind of world do you think that this would be if every time we made a promise, we are incapable of breaking it? What would that be like if every promise we made, would it make us a little bit more cautious about the promises we would make? It's only as good as the person giving it. And so when we look at God, God can't break God's own promise, because then God would not be able to be perfectly faithful. And we know that's the case. So God's making this covenant promise. Now, before we go any further in this, I want to draw you back to an illustration that probably all of us, no matter how good our behavior was or what kind of model children we were, there was a time, maybe a few times in our lives, when we stirred on the wrong side of the parental law. Would you agree? And there came down for a punishment that was going to come due. Now, at the sentencing, right, of the punishment, how many times did you have a defense lawyer say, well, let's take a plea bargain. You can take your 2 weeks, Mom. How about I do the dishes on 5 days and we reduce that to a week? Did that ever happen in your household? Was there a bargain? To me, there wasn't a bargain. There wasn't a moment when you can lessen what was going on. But there was this moment, because of the authority of our parent, They made a one-way agreement. They made a one-way decision that was, here's your punishment, here's what you reaped, and this is how it's going to go. Understanding that in that moment, God is in authority, right? The Creator. God's in authority. So in this moment, understand, in this covenant, God didn't ask for a picky swear promise from Noah or his family. I tell you what, Noah, I'm not going to flood and destroy life again if you do this. Deal? He didn't do that. God didn't ask anything of Noah. This was a one-way covenant. So whether Noah was going to be disobedient or not, God said, I will never do this again. And so I remember. Remember, the rainbow isn't so for us to remember, although, of course, that's a byproduct of it. We see it. It says, so I will remember. God, so he would see an affirmation of, no matter how many times that we will break our promises, that the Old Testament is littered with times, literally, of a cycle. God making a covenant promise, us breaking that covenant promise, having to pull us back to the fold, back under his wing, making another promise, and we break that promise. God is saying in this moment, no matter how many times humankind, all living creatures, hurt me, they grieve me, they relish in sin, no matter how many times they mess up, I'm going to make a covenant promise so I remember my great love for them, so that I won't destroy them again. I will put the rainbow in the clouds, so when I see it as God, I will remember the covenant that I made today. God showed the disgust and hurtfulness of sin by the flood and said, going forward, we're going to do this differently. Can we see where eventually Christ comes about? Because we can see the patience of God letting us have free will, messing up, loving us through it because of this covenant promise. We grieve God again because we know better, but we walk in our own way and we're tempted. And we can see that God sends his only son, Jesus, to pay the penalty for sin for us. And that was out of love. And that too was a one-way covenant. Jesus didn't say at the table, my blood will be spilled out for you if you surrender your life to me. My body will be broken for you if you just put her there and say that you will give up your life of sin and follow me. If you will acknowledge me as Lord, I will submit my life for you on the cross. Would you agree? That would be a whole different scenario of what salvation looks like. Jesus made also a one-way covenant out of love, that Jesus wouldn't come to destroy life, but would come to give it. My dear friends, when we're looking at the covenant promises of God, we are humbled when we see that God would hold God's self to a standard to remember, because God can't go against God's own promise and covenant, because God will always be faithful. Is that powerful to us today when we think of all the promises of the gospel and the cross? God cannot break God's promise. When it says grace will cover all sin, grace covers all sin. Yes, even that one that would bring heaping shame upon you and your family. Even that one that's ugly and disgusting. Even that one who took you even further than you ever imagined. Grace will cover that one too. Because there's a covenant promise that no sin is beyond the grace of God. My dear friends, this is time for us to celebrate as individuals, as disciples of Christ, and as a church. This is our season. This is our time. The resurrection pathway through our season of Lent. For those of you that joined on Ash Wednesday in the service here, or those of us that have walked through it, we have to be reminded that one of our practices this entire season is, what are we willing to sacrifice and give up that's a distraction, that takes sometime precedent or priority in our lives? Sometimes we're asked to do two things, right? It's not limited. Sometimes when we remove things from our proverbial plate, we don't just want emptiness to be there. We want to take something else on that's going to draw us closer to Christ. For me, just by looking at me today, you could probably see it wouldn't hurt me at all to give up some type of sweets. But am I giving up sweets because in that moment of temptation, drooling over the dessert booth, would it be because I don't need the calories? Or would it be that moment when all I have to do is tell the waitress or waiter, I'll take that big one with the fruit on top. I can do that. I have the money in my pocket to pay for that dessert. But in that moment of temptation, if that's what I chose to give up for Lent, it's not because it does well for my diet. That could be a byproduct. It's because in this moment of temptation, staring this temptation through the looking glass, I can make a choice to give in and yield to that temptation and forsake my covenant promise to God through this Lent season. Or I could close my eyes so I see this temptation no more. And even though it is temptation for a piece of food, could I call out to Christ and say, Jesus, I am tempted by what's before me, but it's not worth giving in and forsaking my promise I made to you for this Lenten season. Lord, it's going to call to me when I open my eyes, and even when the world around me is enjoying it. But can I live into your strength and your truth so that when this prayer is over, I'm renewed in my commitment to refuse the temptation of sin? Does that look different? And honoring God, is it more than just calories? Is it something that is a sacrifice? And we talked about this, and in this moment I would invite you to where if you've given up something that will physically help you, mentally help you, that's great, but is it something that truly honors God? Is it something that is sacrificial? Will it be difficult? Do you know on your own strength that you can give up these things? No problem, I've done it before. Then that's not good enough. If it's something within our own selves that we will not struggle with, my dear friends, I submit to you, it is not enough. Jesus did not take the easy road when he carried his cross. Jesus did not take the easy road by refusing the help of the angels on the cross. Jesus did not take the path of less resistance to honor God and honor that covenant promise of unconditional love and grace. My dear friends, so our response should not be, what's an easy way I can make it through this season of Lent? What will be a sacrifice that says, God, you are glorified by this difficult journey of what I sacrificed and gave up. And I do that because the shadow of the cross leans over us and reminds us who we serve and why we are sacrificing. Going back to God's covenant promise. It didn't say God needed a reminder of his covenant. It didn't say that lest I forget, I will put a rainbow in the skies so that I will remember in case a month goes by and I'm kind of waffling. It wasn't because God would forget. It was because when we grieve God because of the sin in our lives, when we misstep, that grieving is very real, because at one time in all that grief, life was taken. Now when God sees, when God puts clouds in the sky and the rainbow, we can see and remember God's covenant, but God will remember with all the stuff going on in our lives and our world. God will remember what unconditional love looks like, and that grace covers all sin. We do not have the power to bring the clouds or to bring a rainbow in our lives. My dear friends, I would ask you, what do we have? What control, what power do we have in our lives so we could have our own rainbow? How would we show each other, our households, and this entire world, this community? Radio listeners, I'm talking to you too. What can we do? Are we capable of? Do we have power of in our lives that we can remind ourselves of God's covenant promise? Is it something that we wear or we do? Is there something every day that we would know, but the outside world would know that I am having a heart for Jesus? And this is the reminder of that covenant promise. How will the world know if they never hear the news? If we never share it with them? I'm going to go a little football route here. Did people care more about my thoughts on how it felt to root for a team in the Super Bowl that didn't win? And if I was the quarterback or defensive coordinator, what I would do differently to surely change the way that game turned out? Would I be more passionate about that analysis than the one who brings everlasting life? Would I ever go to church in the evening when someone invited me, even though I've already come in the morning, right? I mean, I already did my worship for the week. Would I hesitate to worship again, but would watch 12 hours of Super Bowl coverage when that game is over and done? That is not a living game, but this is a living word. Do I know the stat line? Do I argue for what's important? This isn't a game. This is the way that leads to everlasting life. What is in our power, my dear friends, this season to focus on? What will we do to remind ourselves and those around us of the covenant promise Jesus made in our lives? It's too important to leave to chance. What's our covenant reminder of what Jesus means in our life? I'm going to ask our ushers, before I do that, Gayla, I'm going to ask you to come forward if we could. When Gayla comes forward, she's going to lead us in a moment, number 607, it will be on the screen, in a covenant prayer in the Wesley tradition. Because we're focusing on covenant prayers, it's important for us to make a covenant as well. And this is very highly documented in Wesley's many journals. And Gayla, we're going to do something through our entire Lenten season, and we're going to say this similar to how we did for the Apostles' Creed. Whether we're familiar with this or not, Gayla, will you please read these words for us? Because before we make a declaration, before we make a prayer, we want these words to be bathed, as the prayer vigil was, in this sanctuary, on our hearts, so that we could hear them and make sure that our hearts are prepared before we pray it together. Would you share those words for us before we do that together?
I'm going to first say the prayer, and then we will all repeat it together. But before I do, I want to tell you a little bit about the word covenant. As Pastor said, it means a promise, but it's a little bit stronger than that. Pastor Colon used to say it was a contract, a legal contract, a covenant is. A few years ago, when we were working on a stewardship campaign, when Ellen was here, Carol Martino was working on it with us, and we were working on the wording, and a stewardship campaign is when you make pledges of how much money you'll give to the church. And Ellen's, what she had brought to us was that we did a covenant as part of our pledge. Our pledge was a covenant. And Carol wouldn't allow that because she said that a covenant can't be broken. And she wanted to make sure that people that said that they would give so much to the church, if they ran into certain kind of circumstances or something, that they could change that. And Carol was adamant that a covenant cannot be broken. And that really has resonated with me ever since then. And when he gave me this to read, I wanted you to make sure that you understood that this is a contract, a covenant, and it should not be broken. Secondly, when you give me something to read, I got to find out about it. I'm that person that reads the cereal box, you know, when I'm eating breakfast. So I had to look it up to see what this Wesley Covenant Prayer was. And this is what Wikipedia said. The Wesley Covenant Prayer was adopted by John Wesley, who is the founder of Methodism, for use in his services for the renewal of the believer's covenant with God. In his short history of the people called Methodist, Wesley describes the first covenant service. Wesley says that the first service was held on Monday, August 11th, 1755. And it was held at the French church at Spitalfields in London with 1,800 people present. Look how hungry they were for the Word of God. The covenant prayer and service are recognized as one of the most distinctive contributions of Methodism to the liturgy of the church in general, and they are also used from time to time by other denominations. This is a historic and traditional prayer dating back over 250 years that has been used over and over and over again, and that we are about to recite. Let it resound in our hearts. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee, exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. And now we'll recite that all together, please. I am no longer my own, but thine. Put me to what thou wilt. Rank me with whom thou wilt. Put me to doing. Put me to suffering. Let me be employed by thee or laid aside for thee. Exalted for thee or brought low by thee. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and heartily yield all things to thy pleasure and disposal. And now, O glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thou art mine, and I am thine. So be it. And the covenant which I have made on earth,
thank you, Gayla, for leading us in that. And as the weeks go forward for our journey in Lent together, we will be saying that after the message every week. Could we ask the ushers to come forward today? When we think about all the blessings that we've received from the God, that this would be a portion of those gifts given back. And Crystal, I'm in such a habit of taking this back that I took it back without any regard to that you might need it. So let me bring this wonderful gift back to you. Oops, sorry, Bill. There we go. All right. Okay.
Thank you.
many gifts that we give to you, that we lay before you at this altar table. We'd ask that you would bless and multiply the gifts that are here, Lord, so that your ministry, your word, and your good news would be amongst the people in this community and in this world. Would lives be changed? Lord, and as we remember that as we give of our first fruits, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stay standing if we're able together today, and we'll sing number 354, I Surrender All. Number 354, I Surrender All. As we go forward in this moment, can we remember this time of surrender? It sounds very difficult, and it is. It's a difficult thing to humble ourselves and want to surrender all that we have, our desires and what we want to do. But can we understand that when we allow God to lead our lives, the surrender and the sacrifice seems so small by what we have to gain? Could we go forward today looking to gain? To surrendering what we want, what we have, Lord, that we would be used or put aside by Thee, no matter what that looks like. Could we go today encouraged and strengthened in that commitment and that covenant by the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.